Chapter 8. A Surprise Visitor. It was about this time that the newspapers were full of the escape of a convict from San Quentin prison. He was a bad, bad man named Jim Hall. In San Quentin prison, Jim Hall lived in a small cell. He never left this cell. He never saw the sky nor the sunshine. He saw no human face and spoke to no human thing. When his food was pushed into him, he growled like a wild animal. He hated all things. He was a fearful thing. Then one night, he escaped. Everyone said it was impossible. However, the cell was empty, and three guards were dead. A reward was offered to anyone who found him. Ordinary men took up their guns and went out after him. The police also searched for him night and day. Sometimes they came upon him, and the men faced him bravely, but no one managed to catch him. While all this was happening, the family at Sierra Vista was worried. The women were afraid. Judge Scott just laughed. However, in his last days on the bench, the judge had given Jim Hall 50 years in prison. In the open courtroom, before all men, Jim Hall had said he would come to find the judge and get him. In fact, Jim Hall was innocent that particular time. He had been set up by the police. Jim Hall knew this, but Judge Scott did not. He did not know that in this case, Jim Hall was an innocent man. However, Jim Hall believed that the judge knew all about it. So when the sentence of 50 years was spoken by Judge Scott, Jim Hall rose up, promising he would come find the judge. Then Jim Hall went to his living death in prison and escaped. Alice, the master's wife, let White Fang sleep in the big hall at night. However, the master did not want to allow White Fang to sleep in the house, so early each morning, Alice went down and let White Fang out so no one would know. On one such night, while all the house slept, White Fang awoke. He smelled a strange man who was not a member of the family. The strange man walked softly through the house, but White Fang walked even more softly. He followed quietly. In the wild, hunting had taught him the advantage of surprise. The strange man paused at the foot of the great stairs and listened, and White Fang watched and waited. The stairs led to the master and his loved ones. White Fang waited. The strange man's foot lifted, and White Fang struck. He landed on the strange man's back and bit into the back of the man's neck. Together, they fell to the floor. There were gunshots. A man's voice cried out. There was a great snarling and growling in the noise of breaking furniture and glass. In a very short time, the noise stopped. The frightened household stood at the top of the stairs. Whedon Scott turned on the light. Then he and Judge Scott, with guns in their hands, carefully went down the stairs. A man lay among the broken furniture, his face hidden by an arm. Whedon Scott bent and turned the man over.
"Jim Hall," said Judge Scott,
and father and son looked at each other. Then they turned to White Fang.
"He's badly hurt. I don't think he'll make it," said his master.
"We'll see about that," replied the judge as he picked up the telephone.
White Fang had lost most of his blood and had broken several bones. The surgeon didn't think there was much chance of the wolf surviving, but Judge Scott said he would spend whatever money was necessary to save him. Beth and Alice nursed White Fang. He slept long hours and dreamed much. Into his dreams came Quiche, Gray Beaver, and fights. In his worst dreams, he saw Beauty Smith. Then came the day when the last bandage and the last plaster cast were taken off. Everyone came to watch. White Fang tried to rise to his feet, and after falling down from weakness a few times, at last he stood on his four legs. The surgeon said it was fine to let him outside, so they let the wolf go out. He was slow and very weak.
When he reached the lawn, he lay down and rested for a while. Then he continued on to the stables. There lay Collie with 6 little puppies playing about her in the sun. Collie snarled at White Fang, so he was careful to keep his distance. The master helped one puppy move toward him. The puppy stood in front of him. He watched it curiously. Then their noses touched, and he felt the warm little tongue of the puppy on his cheek. White Fang's tongue went out, he did not know why, and he licked the puppy's face. Then, feeling weak again, White Fang lay down, his head on one side as he watched the puppy. The other puppies came toward him, and he permitted them to climb over him. He lay with half-shut, patient eyes, enjoying the sun.